It is Wednesday, my dudes.
All right. Welcome, everybody, back to the Wednesday Pool List. This is Simon. Lex is out for the week, but we've got a very special guest star here to talk about some comics. From what I understand, he's a big comic fan. I see a lot of back and forth on Twitter, so it's really cool to see that, you know, like all of us, you're not just one note, right? You're not just...
I'm not just a one note Nelly.
No, multi-dimensional individual here. So why don't you introduce yourself and kind of tell the people who you are.
Hey, everybody. My name is D. Most people know me as D Amazing. I do freelance photography and toy photography for the people of the world.
Yeah. So what's crazy is, like, I'm sure you hear this story all the time. So I was a collector. I was very anal retentive about my toys. So I had, like, Beast Wars stuff in storage for years and years and years, old Gundam Universe stuff in storage for years and years and years. And I was always a little embarrassed to have any of that around. Well, I get married. And my wife's like, why are you embarrassed? That stuff's cool. Why don't you start displaying it? So I pull all that stuff out of the attic. I have all the pieces and parts. Like I said, everything goes in a bag.
Meticulous.
Yeah. So I start displaying that stuff, and then I find this store that's got some pretty premium stuff I was looking for, and I look up a review, and who comes up? You. You're the first person. I think it was the Amazing Yamaguchi Iron Man was one of the first things that I ever saw of yours. And
Wow, that was a while ago.
Yeah, man, it was a million years ago. And
that's what it feels like.
So I blame you for my current addiction.
But it's a good addiction, though.
It's great. I love it. You know, it hasn't done me wrong yet. And, you know, I even appreciate, like, you helped me get the 89 bats, man. I was one of those people that got canceled on, really sucked. You know, I reached out, and that was really amazing for you to do. So I appreciate it. Always helping out the toy community. So
yeah, I'm glad I can help.
Yeah. So, D has, provided a comic for us to read today, one that I had never even heard of. All know, I'm kind of the novice reader, right? I'm the outsider that comes in, gives my honest opinion of things that I've never read before, don't know anything about. I don't have a lot of history with it. I know the basics of comics. Lex is usually the one that's like, hey, I know everything. He's not so egotistical about it, but yeah, he really knows those deep cuts, and I know you know him as well, so I'm glad to have you on as our expert. But today, at the suggestion of Dee, we're reading Planetary by Warren Ellis and John Cassaday. And I'm really excited to talk through this one, man. It hit me by surprise. Like I said, I didn't know a thing about it, but I love these outsider stories that don't rely so heavily on the comic archetypes that you see all the time. You know, 60 years worth of comics, you're seeing the same thing. 90 years worth of comics, you're seeing the same thing. So it's really great to see these original stories like this. So I'll go ahead. I'll read the summary for Planetary number one, and then we'll just kind of alternate from there. Like I said, we'll give our thoughts on this one and then move on to the next issue. So,
okay.
All right, here we go. Planetary number one. Written by Warren Ellis, art by John Cassaday, and colors by Laura Depew. Planetary is the story of a secret team of super beings intent on discovering the world's secret history. Jaquita Wagner recruits a mysterious 100-year-old man named Elijah Snow to join the Planetary group of archaeologists of the unknown. Their first mission, locate the mysterious Doc Brass. Man, like I told you at the front of the show, I'm so glad you suggested this, I'll preface that because one of my favorite comic books, I really love Alan Moore, and one of my favorite comic books of all time is The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I love that book.
It's so good.
It's before he went crazy.
It's debatable. I think he might have always been crazy, but yes.
Oh, yeah, but I meant like the public kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah. Before he was like, definitely. Yeah. But, I definitely get that kind of vibe with this book. This kind of secret society and just come together to kind of figure out the weird things of the world. I mean, We read the Department of Truth not that long ago, and I love that kind of like background of shit that nobody knows about. You know, it's like secret government stuff. So, I mean, tell me what you were thinking rereading this, and you know what you thought the first time you picked it up.
The first time well, it's crazy because I've always loved Warren Ellis, but it's weird now with all the stuff that he's going through. That's a different story for a different day. But it was crazy because he was like Warren Ellis and then John Cassaday. John Cassaday had also been drawing Captain America. He did like a bunch of other 9/11 covers. And I'm like, I don't know if this is gonna like work for me. But then you realize John Cassaday was like also inking himself, and I was like, oh, this is a completely different vibe when he's inking himself. Like it's like this weird brush strokes of like semi-realistic art, but also it just works. And then it was like Warren Ellis loves doing like weird alternate history out of the facts, like super secret society stuff. And then after the first issue, I was like, oh, I'm on board because this just ties into so many things that don't even necessarily think that you tie into it, but it does. And then it just gets crazier from that point on.
Yeah, definitely. Especially, yeah. Well, one thing, so this art reminds me, and I'm sure I've seen this before, but I have trouble remembering them from book to book. I usually it's like, oh, that looks so similar to this. Maybe it's the same person. But one thing the art and the inking reminded me a lot of was like Jeff Darrow's work, like very like the little everything's
Like the Kirby Crackle, like but tiny Kirby Crackle.
Yes,
And
yes,
it like
yes.
Jeff Darrow, is Jeff Darrow, John Cassaday, quietly, and someone else, Nick Bradshaw. They all do that kind of art. And it's like, oh yeah. Even for a while, David Finch was doing it. When he stopped, I was like, why? Please come back, do more of it. So it's like every time I see that kind of art, I'm like, you have me. As long as you draw like this, you have me. Even for a while, Brian Hitch did it. But Brian Hitch kind of smoothed his stuff out and then got weirdly elongated. Back when he was doing a little bit more, his is like super elongated. When he wasn't doing super elongated, Brian Hitch was the man.
See, that's like I now I have to I'm like writing names down, make sure I'm sure I've seen it, but I'm not sure. But I've always been a big fan of the like heavy outline, and like you said, like the instead of like cross hatching, it's more of dot matrix stuff, you know. I don't know how to describe it, but I love it. And you know, one of the things that I really enjoy about this book, and like you said, kind of the alt history thing, is are the references to other comic books. So not necessarily right in your face, but it's like, oh, this is what's happening. You know what I mean?
So I don't want to spoil anything for you because I don't know how far you got, but you are right on the money. That's all I'm gonna say. Because I don't like spoilers. I don't like spoilers. Because when you get to see how they interact with other things, it makes it all the more better. You'll see.
Well, yeah, even in this first issue, you know, we once they kind of have this, which I was like, what does this even mean? They're talking about this like universal snowflake. I was like, this is so made up that it's like, is this real? You know?
It's
But
so fake, it's real.
yeah, but you've got like the Doc Savage type person, you know, and then you pull in all these heroes that are obviously the Justice League from an alt universe, which is really neat. It's really cool to see like Thomas Edison capping somebody, you know, no problem.
Yep. Edison's on his bullshit.
So yeah, this first issue was just so crazy. And to see that this character, see, I'm terrible about remembering names. I didn't Doc. But
So that's a running joke that will make perfect sense why later, but you'll see.
okay. But yeah, seeing this guy with these like crazy messed up legs. Oh man,
Oh,
that
I
was
forgot
rough.
about that. I
That's
didn't
rough.
mean to laugh. I didn't mean to laugh. I didn't
No,
mean to
it's
laugh.
just like insane because they look so atrophied, but in a weird, like I don't know how to describe. They're just so crazy.
That was the thing about John Cassaday. He can draw really fucked up shit, and you're like, wow, this is gonna live vividly in my brain now.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, this is like a flood form or something. But man, yeah, seeing him in this guy, he's the last survivor of this like kind of secret society of super people. And seeing him, he's been in this cave for like 40 or 50 years. he's just been waiting for somebody to find him is insane, and I love it. Very cool. Yeah, very cool. So yeah. I mean, like I said, issue one, I was in. I was like, all right, this ain't bullshit. I'm not getting bored or anything like that. It's really cool. One of the things I really like about this is how little we know about our protagonists. Like almost nothing. Just we drop in, we know a name or two. We don't know if they have powers. There's slightly hinted that they have some kind of extraordinary powers, but that's pretty much it. So yeah, man. I'm excited to read the...
How far did you get? Just issue one?
No, I read all the way through the first volume. So I read all the way through five. And so that's usually when we do like trade reviews, like we'll do. That's why I was checking to make sure it was that one. So
yeah, volume one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I've got all the way to five. And as we were going through, I was like, if I weren't doing another comic thing that I had to do later with... I would be deep in this. I would be so far in this.
And it's crazy because this book took so long to finish because they wanted to make sure they did it right. And by the time it finishes, you're like, wow, I feel like you'll leave feeling good. Like, it's only 27 issues and I believe four specials. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, 31 issues. That's all it needed to make me cry. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Meanwhile, I'm like 115 issues in the Fable and cried like five times.
Oh, dude, Fable is so good. God, I love Fable.
I'm glad it's coming back.
Yeah. So, and that's another reason why I like these like short form stories, like one and done, like very much like a British TV, you know, one or two seasons, enough to tell the story. Here we go.
Get your BBC on.
Yeah. Same.
Oh, that sounds awful. That sounds so awful. I just realized how that sounds. Yeah, oh, come my on. God. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, same with anime. Some anime, not shown in anime, but you know, short form. Yeah. There we go. We're good. And so, again, thank you for bringing this story. So, if you don't mind, going ahead and reading the summary for Planetary Number Two.
I got you.
We'll move from there.
Synopsis for Planetary Two: a cult favorite Japanese author and a ragtag band of manic fans and sycophants take off for a tiny secluded island in a dispute. Oh God, hold on. I had a war flashback of this. Sorry. See, you just freshly read it, so you know why I said that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Secluded island in disputed territory between Japan and Russia. With secret lurks on this island have kept both nations from laying claim to it since World War II. It's up to Planetary to get to the author and his cohorts off the island before rumors of a great atomic lizard and super intelligent insects are proven true. God, I love this book.
Yeah, man. It's so, yeah, opening pages. Well, and there's something. So, you know, I didn't know. I listened to last podcast on the left a lot, and they deal in with cults and things like that. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but they talk about like true crime stuff. But I didn't know about Om Shinrikyo until that. And when they mentioned it in this, I was like, oh shit. Oh no. Oh God.
Yeah. That's why I laugh so hard, because I'm like, the problem with Warren Ellis is that he actually like looks up and researches these things and then bases it off of that. So it's all based on a little bit of truth. And it's crazy because there's also another series of his that at one point was tying into Planetary, but it didn't. It was about how people, like first responders, would get these phone calls from like secret organizations to take out secret missions. If I could just remember what the title of the book is, I'll give it to you. The book never finished, but it got like 14 issues in. It was awesome. It was like, but it's reasons why this, why I'm like, man, Warren Ellis could write all sorts of crazy shit and I'd probably be on board, because he'd find a way to research some shit that was true about it and include it in his book.
Yeah, dude. Well, and there's so, what I love about this is, I mean, not only are we getting this alt history of all these creatures, right, which is great. Yeah. I love that, right?
Yeah,
no one's ever seen them because they don't ever leave, but it's like, it's all real. All the things that we've seen in movies is real.
Yeah.
But the idea of a cult going out on their own to find some uninhabited land so they could make it like a sovereign nation is very interesting to me, and right on the money, right? I love that. You know, as we get deeper into this book, we still know barely anything about our heroes, but we do know, well, heroes, we do know that they do have some special powers. But I think it's so interesting, you know, we have like characters like the drummer. We know what he does, but he's just the, it's like what? See, I,
Exactly.
and so I sit here and I'm like, is this a reference that I'm missing? Is this based on a real life person, you know, that he just pulled the likeness in or something like that? You know, I don't
Oh,
know.
you'll see. You'll see.
And we also get
I
to
don't
see.
want to spoil it.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. I, unlike most people, don't really mind spoilers because I do respect anybody that doesn't want to hear things. And I do see Marvel movies on the opening weekend because I don't want people telling me the ending. But spoilers don't usually bother me that much because I'm going to go see it anyway. And I'm like, oh, okay. All
The
right.
only reason why it matters for this book, because it spoils the plot when I say certain things. And I need you, because you need to have that level of mystery in this. That's why. Planetary, that's part of the joy. You don't know anything.
And that's what's, it's kind of cool seeing that as the reader, but also you know that the people in Planetary, Jakita, the drummer, and what was the last guy's name?
Elijah Snow.
Elijah Snow. They don't know anything either. At least Elijah Snow doesn't. So it's kind of cool to see him brought in the first issue because he's us. You know, he's kind of the avatar for the viewer, the reader, which is cool. Yeah, dude. Like I said, I'm still digging it, and we get to see Chiquita's powers. I'm not quite sure what the limits are, but she obviously has altered speed, some altered strength. Really cool stuff.
Her is no spoiler. You can think of her as a souped-up version of Monet St. Croix from X-Men. Because you know how Monet is basically Superman, but she's like a little like powered down, but she's ridiculously powerful. Chiquita Wagner is that.
Okay.
Yeah, she's that.
Cool.
You're like, what? She like, she'd even get to a point where you'll see later on. They're like, what can't you do? She's like, I don't know. Nobody's ever like stood withstood me long enough.
See, that's always, I love that. Kind of not knowing the limits of your own powers is really interesting to me because, like, how would you know? That's off subject, but it, well, not off subject, but, you know, sidebar. Anyway, that's what I always loved about Invincible, you know, when he's having him train because he's like, yeah, it's like a muscle. Like, yeah, you're super strong, but it's still muscles. It's still whatever. You got to exercise it. Otherwise, you're going to be limited. So I had a friend that would always say if he could fly, he would just float 1 inch off the ground all the time just to be a dickhead to everybody else.
Oh my God. That's such a mean thing to do too, because it's like, because then people are like tripping and like, is he just jumping and I'm not looking at it? Or is he just literally floating across the floor?
Yeah, he's just gliding.
Exactly.
I love the idea that not all monsters are dead as well. That was really cool. And it's a flying one. That's some Jurassic Park shit. Like, oh, maybe it flew to another island. You don't know.
Exactly. But man, Planetary is so good. I can't wait for you to like finish it. You'll see.
This is,
Like,
yeah. And
go ahead, go
not,
ahead.
well, I was going to say, not to get too deep into like the, you know, as we usually go, we kind of talk about the whole series, whether or not we're going to continue, but I'm going to continue this. I'm just going to spoil it for everybody listening right now that I'm going to continue this book because it is so enthralling and it really is kind of this like, I don't know, man. Everything just unfolds little by little as you go through, and I'm
It's like
really
peeling an onion,
digging. Right.
layer by layer. No, because that's what it's like. It's like it doesn't. Some things like you'll even have to come back to because they won't make sense to you right away, and then you're like, oh, you'll see,
You get
you'll
the
see.
Metal Gear Solid like exclamation mark noise. Boring?
Yeah,
Ah,
boing.
yes. I remember that from 20 issues ago.
That's something like he did it right, man. He knew how to. Warren Ellis knows how to tell a story, man. It just sucks that, you know, he's Warren Ellis.
It's one of those things, and so I don't know exactly what you're talking about, and it's one of those things that I feel like I'm happy in my ignorance for now because I,
That way. Keep it
yeah,
that way.
because I'm one of those people like I usually am pretty good at separating art from artists, but some people they go too far, and you're like, yeah, I don't know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what it was like for me, because I was like, what do you mean? Like, I was really upset. I was like, when did this happen? And how did this happen? So now I'm just like, fuck. But unfortunately, like, I won't be enjoying any of his new work, but I could always enjoy the old stuff. Or at least I try to. But it is hard. It's hard sometimes. It really is.
Yeah, that's kind of it's I say it all the time on here, but that's kind of like Jay-Z said. Of course, this is a different scenario because he did something to offend you. It's not just like he changed his style up, right? But
Yeah.
Jay-Z's like, you like my old shit, listen to my old albums, you know? Like I love
Yeah.
that. Just that's what I do. If I don't like something new, I'm just gonna stay with that. We're good. But
But I like that. That I've been living by that metaphor. Like, look, if you like the work, you like the work, right? It's certain things where it's like, if the work is tied to the terrible things that person did, then I can't enjoy it. But if it's not tied to the terrible things that person did, I can get why you can separate the art from the artist. But it does get frustrating sometimes because some people will be like, you know, haha, it turns out I was always tied to me and I'm awful. Like, that's a real super villain shit. Like, why would you go and spoil that for me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people are just straight up super villains though, and it sucks.
I mean, that is true. People are the worst. All right, so we're going to go into planetary number three. For 20 years, Hong Kong residents have told stories of a cop who came back from the dead to bring justice and vengeance to the streets of his city. Now, after a verified sighting of the spectral policeman with thundering guns, Planetary comes calling, looking to disprove what they feel must be an urban legend. They come looking for a lie, but what they find is something very different. This issue is, to me, feels like a pretty big change of pace compared to what we have seen, right?
Yeah.
It's much more localized. It doesn't seem, until you get to the end, as earth-shattering as everything
Yeah.
else. Like we've discovered that there's a guy that's been living in a cave for 50 years that had this group of, kind of Illuminati-esque people. We have giant monsters on an island, and now we have a ghost cop. So it's pretty crazy, but very, how would you describe our ghost cop? Like, what do you think, in your opinion, what does he reference?
You ever watch a bunch of kung fu movies, like your Hong Kong kung fu movie era? I feel like it's a tribute to that mixed with a ghost story.
And I kind of feel so there's one particular part where he's just gunning dudes down, but then he has like a spectral bullet. And so that's the one moment where I was like, that's a little Ghost Rider-y. But that shit was nuts. I love that. Like passing through the car as he's gunning people down. That's crazy that you can't get that kind of action in real life.
No. So good. I love this book so much.
Yeah, man. It's kind of interesting to see how they combine their powers too. Just talking about a quote unquote protagonist, how the drummer is looking around. They kind of unravel this mystery of so I guess it's like one several people have died in the same spot, or that's kind of where our ghost originates, right?
Yeah.
This one I have a little harder time remembering.
So with this one, it was like if people killed in the same vicinity, and the reason why is because, well, I don't want to spoil it, but they were looking for something, and you'll see why. But it's bigger than that. Like it's one of those, like you said, it starts off as one thing and ends up as something else completely. So it's like it's still a revenge story though. That's the crazy part about it. And you forget about the revenge until the very last part of the issue, and you're like, oh. So yeah, it's not like when you end up on a side quest, but then it's still part of the main quest. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, man, and this the mystery that they find again, I also don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't read this yet, but the thing that they find is just it's crazy because it really does show that like even the smallest thing could be connected to something bigger, right? Oh man, I don't really have a lot to say beyond just how badass it was to because you get some unraveling about what it is, but this cop is just super cool, man. He's just
It's straight to the point. It's literally straight to the point action. And that's what I'm just talking about with Ellis, where it's like one issue is big science, one issue is big kaiju, and then you get Hong Kong movie. So it's like he can they can bring and the thing about Ellis, I mean not Ellis, but Cassidy, is he's telling three completely different styles of stories with the same protagonists. That's very versatile. That's kind of what I enjoy about modern comics in general. People are like, Spider-Man doesn't belong in space. Well, I kind of want to see how he would react in space, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. And I think that's one thing, kind of talking about toy photography. I talked about to you way long time ago. I was like, man, I always have trouble with Spider-Man because I'm like, I don't have like a city diorama or whatever to really get the swinging shit. But then when you think about it, it really, yeah, fucking Spider-Man could be anywhere. You don't have to limit yourself.
Yeah.
So it really is kind of like thinking outside the box. But one thing about this issue that I'll note is I honestly, I had to go back to see if it was the same artist because his style switches up to me a
Yeah,
little bit.
it changes because he does his painted style for the ghost and he pencils everybody else just to show you the difference.
Yeah.
Like the way he paints the ghost is so good. I'm like, dude, you know how hard it is to make somebody look see-through in just art? It's
Yeah, it
like,
really is. It's super
oh,
cool.
so good. It's so good.
Yeah. I was impressed to see that. It's always nice to see an artist that can be very versatile with their style. And even the way he draws everyone else to me was just he tweaks it just a little bit, I feel like. It still looks great. It looks a little bit more like regular comic. I don't know how to
Yeah,
describe it. A
I,
little.
it's weird because this is very young John Cassaday, but by the time you get to the last two volumes, you can tell his style completely evolved by then. That's what's so crazy about this. The book takes so long that he completely changes style by the end of it.
Yeah, this one definitely has, and the only way I can describe it is more of like that modern-esque, a little bit later 2000s, like DC style. All DC's books to me looked exactly the same from like 2010 to like now. I know that there's lots of variants in there, but the popular
Oh,
ones.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about when people used to draw like house style, strictly house style. That was like for that corporate synergy. I hate house style. Like I hate when people are like, well, I need to draw like this person to make sure we like people don't deviate. Like, dude, sometimes you pick the right team and it works. That's it. That's it. It's like with the Captain Marvel book. Her last like the last issues from like 40 to now have had different artists. And you know what? It worked for every single issue. It worked for every single issue.
My favorite, I mean, my favorite books. We've read a lot of like image kind of indie books, and my favorites are always those that just come out of left field and do their own thing. I don't like you said, I'm not a fan of keeping that strict. But it still worked for this because I feel like, it maybe at this point it wasn't overdone, but he still has his stylistic pieces and parts in there, so still great.
I hear you.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about this particular issue before we move on?
Yes, hold on, because I was just looking at the art. And there was something I finally noticed, and I don't think I noticed it before, is that there was this three panels, and I wanted to talk about this because I look back on it. The scene where he drives through the ghost and the way he shoots the people as he's phasing through them, because he can touch you, but you can't touch him. And that was such a badass moment. It was like he like no fear in his heart. I'm already dead. It doesn't even matter, but I'm gonna kill everybody in this vehicle right
Yeah,
now.
I thought that it's interesting that you bring that up because I saw him, you see him with his guns, and I'm like, well, he's a ghost. I mean, what's he gonna do? But then, like you said, like actually seeing him fire the guns and stuff, and people are dying. It's like, whoa, okay. Yeah,
Yeah. It threw me for a loop because I was like, what is this ghost really going to do? Like, he's just going to be angry and haunt them. No. He ghost riding the fuck out of them.
Definitely. In my mind, I was like, is this going to be like Patrick Swayze pushing the penny? Like, what is he gonna,
Yeah.
how's he interact?
This reminds me of now. It's funny because I've never read the Lockwood books, but I know Lockwood, the show, is on Netflix and I've watched it. And it talks about how ghosts can like harm humans. That's exactly what this scene just reminded me of. It was like, we can't touch them, but they could definitely touch the fuck out of us.
God, that is a scary thought. That is super. I don't like it.
You know how terrifying that is? It's
Yeah,
like,
man.
imagine being haunted. Like, they're just gonna do what they want. They're gonna terrorize the hell out of you.
Yeah, dude. No thanks.
That's why I'm nice to everybody. I don't want nobody haunting me.
That's a good policy. That's a really good policy.
Why would you want to haunt me? I've been very nice to you.
Yeah, man. All
I
right.
wonder if ghosts have ghosts. It's completely different sidebar. But imagine you a ghost and you like hurt a human. Now he come back as a ghost. Now he's haunting you because y'all both ghosts now. You just gotta be
Wow, yeah.
extra annoying.
Just to be chased around, yeah, chased around by two people that can't touch each other. But would they be able
Exactly.
to hurt each other since they're on the
I
same
think they.
plane?
I feel like they would. I feel like it'd be a perpetual. You know, like when stuff get knocked over in your house, and like, yo, who is there? It's probably two ghosts fighting.
They're brawling.
I think about that often. I know I shouldn't, but I do.
Yeah, well, it's easy. Yeah.
Right, I'll read the synopsis for four, right? Let me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The synopsis for Planetary Four. John Wilder, private detective for a huge software company, trod on an ancient artifact discovered beneath the foundations of a bombed-out building belonging to his employers. Second later, he is no longer there. There is a tale of where he went. John Wilder, private detective. See, it just repeats itself. But but it's a reason why it repeats itself. You'll see why when you read this issue. But John Wilder,
I may
he's
have
there.
accent. Yeah.
No, but it actually is good that you did that, considering how this issue goes. So John Wilder's there, then John Wilder's not there. How do you figure that out? And then the last issue we had ghosts. So you know this issue has nothing to do with ghosts. So is it like a paradox? Is it an alternate universe? Where did he go? So.
Yeah, it was super interesting to see that, but even how he got there was really funny. It's just kind of, I don't know how to wrap my head around it. So we're following someone who isn't our protagonist at the beginning of this book. So we're used to following our team, but we're not right now. So it's like, who's this guy to the story?
Exactly.
And to see him well, one, he's just chasing a dude that's like choking out another dude, which
Yep.
is he's just trying to stop a crime.
And it's wild because he's a private detective for a company that he works for. Like back in the days, like people didn't have cops. They just hired private detectives. Like, you know how crazy that sounded in 2023? Because that was a real thing at one point.
Yeah. Well, see, what I think is funny is like he doesn't really understand what's happening with this hole, but he knows it's there, right? Because he's talking about it at the beginning of the book. But to see him, he's just chases this dude who also just runs into this like caution tape laden area. To me was like a really funny premise. Because it just seems kind of strange. Like, why would you do that to escape somebody? There's a whole city. Why would you run through this place?
I'm gonna lose him in an abandoned building. You know how crazy that sounds?
Yeah, man. But to see him, well, one, getting a peek at this, like whatever it is, in the middle of this pit is really, it's really interesting because it kind of has that John Carter from Mars feel to me, like the way, like if you read the books, and some of the concept art that they do for like Dejah Thoris and all these characters, like that's kind of what reminds me of like high fantasy science fiction stuff from like the, well, I don't even know, like 30s or whenever that book came out. So,
It was the 30s. Wow, it was. John Carter of Mars came out in the 30s.
yeah,
Holy shit.
it's like super when they thought that things would be more artistic based than science based, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, he steps on this key and now he's in like a pocket dimension, which is crazy. But
The art just completely changes at that point.
yeah.
But this is why I love John Cassaday. If you just let him go crazy, he does.
Well, and he kind of becomes this character as we see later, and just part of this book. Like I said, it's kind of this like Edgar Rice Burroughs science fiction mixed with a little bit of Dune, in my opinion. Like the way you see that
Yeah.
conceptualized in a lot of movies and things like that. So I love that mix. I think it's really cool, and it's like a really clean future, clean science
Yes.
fiction,
Yeah. There's no blurred lines there. It's we get it right.
Yeah, and even, you think of regular science fiction, it's all even like Star Wars and stuff like that, it's kind of like an industrial look to it and everything's kind of bleh.
Almost steampunkish.
Yeah. And this is definitely not that.
Now, this is the we finally did it. We lived the dream. Everything is even on the artistic, they show you art-wise, it's just almost perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy because, like, and then and then on a side note, Doc Savage.
Right. Yeah, there he is again. Yeah, man.
And again, I love how he tells the story because he's giving you little by little, just feeding it to you.
Well,
And
and
then it
this
makes you
is
wonder where it goes.
right. Yeah. Everybody's still present, right? He's not gone. He was in one
Yeah.
issue. He's not gone. He goes to this facility to heal up. And so it was cool to see him come back because he might have an understanding of this, you know. And one thing I think is really crazy, again, with alt history is like this giant ship is like, oh, okay, well, that's an extinction event. I caused an extinction event,
Yeah.
which is really cool in my opinion. I love that kind of stuff because like people can say, oh, a giant meteor hit and that's what destroyed the dinosaurs, or this, that, whatever the
Yeah.
extinction event is. But I love the idea. It's like, nah, man, you don't know. You still don't know.
We'll make sure you never ever know.
Yeah. What else? What
I
else?
think that's what's pretty crazy because, like, going back through the art, right? And I love that I can just keep peeking back. Animals and nature was still perfectly fine in that. And it makes you ask, like, how do you do that? And like, how powerful are these people? And then you realize this man went to a pocket dimension, came back and died.
Yeah.
What happened if we all go over
Yeah,
there?
right. Yeah, well,
Yeah.
and I mean it's even so he talks to the ship. The ship basically needs it's kind of interesting how the clean energy works that powers the ship, right? But to me, the way I read it, like I read it as it's presented to me, but also in the back of my mind, and maybe, you know, maybe I'm not seeing, maybe I'm a little bit of a pessimist, but I'm like, nah, man, this thing's using him. Like he
That's
becomes a,
skepticism. That's
yeah.
true skepticism.
Like the way we've seen some of these other things go, I'm like, this ship is a little nefarious, maybe, but maybe not. I
Exactly.
don't know.
But the ship was good. Or
Yeah.
was it?
Yeah. I
Ship
don't
was good. Ship
know.
was, I mean, ship was decent. I'm gonna leave it at that. The ship was decent.
It's a gray area. Gray
It
area.
exactly that. It's literally like a gray area.
Yeah.
But then this book is so good. I'm gonna reread this whole book again. I'm gonna relive all these good memories. Cause now just talking about it reminded me that this is part of the reason why, like, the motto comes to be, like, my grandmother always reminded me, you gotta be good and do good. I added the drink water part because I like water. But then with planetary, it reminds me, like, being good is not always what you think it is. Just like justice is not always what you think it is.
Yeah, right.
So this book teaches me, like, you have to be good for every scenario. It's not always, you know, oh, we got to catch the bad guy. Well, who's the bad guy in this situation? Like, this is an example of that. But being good isn't always a right and wrong, red and blue. It's following the path that's most right.
Yeah.
That's crazy difficult, especially when you look back at these characters.
Well, and yeah. I think that's what's so interesting, just talking about comics in general, some of the most popular characters, people like Batman. I love stories where they're like, Batman is a crazy person, and
Yeah.
his idea of good is extreme, extreme, extreme.
Yeah.
So it is, you have to be situational about how you feel about things. Otherwise, you just get locked into a personality bubble. You know, you can't be anything else because you've just drawn yourself in there. So,
And that's why, like, characters like Batman who will go, all right, I went too far at this point. Maybe having a sidekick will keep me on that path. That's
yeah.
how we get Robins. And that's how Robins develop their own characters because, like, each Robin has gotten a different version of Batman that each made, he made them better and they made him better. That symbolism that works is so well.
Yeah. Yeah, man. What an interesting character that he can play both sides. It's like when you think of something like Kingdom Come, he's like not great. But then you think about other books and he's like you said. So
Because he didn't have a Robin in Kingdom Come, that's why.
so, yeah. All right. Let's see. Okay. Planetary number 5.
Let's see.
related from the bed of a secret hospital, and even more secret history. Discover the story of Dr. Axel Brass, the forgotten pre-war adventurer who spent 50 years guarding the multiversal door opened by a computer he couldn't shut off. It's an untold story of greatness in America, of jungle kings and covert operators, and a daughter in the night. Related from the bed of a secret hospital and even more secret history, discover the story of Dr. Axel Brass, the forgotten pre-war adventurer. Oh, damn it. I did it again.
Well, yeah. But okay. So this issue is crazy because you finally get like the alternate history of Doc Savage, right? Because they couldn't use Doc Savage at the time.
Sure, sure, sure.
But it's Doc Savage. And basically, he's just telling you Doc Savage. And you're like, and then you think about all the old heroes who don't get any love anymore. I'm like, dude, I would love a Dr. Savage toy. The Man of Tomorrow. The Bronze Man.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because he is a person of color. But it was always weird that they called him the Bronze Man. I've always hated that. I've always hated that.
Yeah, man. Well, old character, they're like, we, you know. They're like, I don't know if we could sell this to anybody. Of course you can. Don't be a coward.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's super cool to see that and just to hear more about the character, like you said. And I'm with you. There's so many things. So there's so many genres and characters and things that are older that it's so hard to find. If there's a figure, it's super old. It's something that, you know, you want modern articulation stuff. I just spent a shit ton of money on a Big O Son of Chokagin, Soul of Chokagin figure.
Oh, the Big O? I have that. It's so good.
I love Big O is like one of my favorites of all time. I love big clunky anime characters or big clunky mechs. And so I finally got one. I had the old plastic toys like that anime figure line that came out. And I finally got that one and I was so happy, but it's so fucking expensive.
Oh, it's so old and so expensive.
Yeah.
Even the reissue was expensive. And the reissue came with everything.
Yeah. See, that's the one I've got. I got the one with all the bells and whistles. But yeah, it's a problem. So toy companies, reissue your shit or make new ones. So stop making people.
I can't blame the toy companies because as fans, we'll say we want something and then it won't sell.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yes. I totally see that. Yep.
I see it happen all the time. People beg every day. Oh, my God. If you make this, I'll spend whatever money on it. I'll spend whatever money on it. And then it comes out and it's like $108. I can't spend any money on it.
As a graphic designer, I used to make t-shirts and stuff, and I used to do a lot of like toaster robots, and I made this design. I put it on Facebook and I had friends that was like, dude, if this is a t-shirt, I'll buy it now. I was like, cool. So I get on, I put it on the, you know, Redbubble, whatever. I'm like, hey guys, t-shirt, there you go. Y'all are asking for it. You know how many that sold?
7-0. Oh my God.
So
it is my fear that after everyone's telling me, oh, you got to do this and you got to do that, and I do it and it fails, it is literally done that every time. T-shirts failed. Doing tutorials to help people with posing failed. Doing plastic parties to people who claim they would want one-on-ones failed. So I have this big fear of it failing because it's proven to fail every time. And I'm not talking about like a super long wait. That's why now I make people wait. Because that way, if I do it, it's going to be well thought out of, and I'll have backup money should it fail again.
Well, and that's, you know, that's, you just kind of got to do things that you want to do. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice to have people kind of push you in a direction if you're afraid to do it, but not to tell you to do something and then abandon you when you're there. You know what I mean?
It's a very hurtful experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ugh, God, I hate it. So, anyway, back to the story.
Yeah, sorry.
Personal crimes aside, it's easy to get deep in that.
Yeah. But yes, we get to learn about our Doc Savage, Mr. Brass. And this leads into like the next big story, which is like issue 6 through like 12.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to learn a whole lot more. So, but the art in this is crazy because they do like the old pulp art in between pages.
Oh, yes. It's yeah.
So good. So good.
Yeah. Those were my favorite parts there, man.
I think that's where Hickman got his pages for X-Men from that. Because I don't think I've seen anybody do that in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And when Hickman started doing that, I was like, yeah, give me more.
I'm a big fan of like old school pencil drawing as well. Like I've always been a fan of when you can see the graphite strokes and everything. I just love it so much. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there was like an art test you could do. It's like you could join the art club. It was like one of the TV infomercials that came on in the 90s and
I
early
remember
2000s.
that. I remember that.
But I remember wanting to do it so bad because like all the drawings on the little pamphlet that they sent out were like those heavy drawings.
It always makes you feel some type of way too.
Yeah, dude.
I
Beautiful.
now I
Beautiful.
kind of want it. Now I kind of want to do it.
So nice, man. So yeah, you get this secret history. It's nice to see Snow on his own as well, you know, because he's starting to get a grasp and starting to feel more confident in Planetary. So it's cool to see that because the rest of the time he's seemingly lost. He doesn't really know anything any more than we do. So
Yeah, he's literally like off. Every other time he's almost like a spectator. So issue 5 and 6, you really get to see him like do his thing. Is it 5? Yeah, 5 and 6, you really get to see him do a thing. And it's like you go, okay, now we're heating up. Like, it's like the NBA Jam code. It's like he's heating up.
Well, yeah, and that's just last thing is hearing that they were alive at the same time, and like you had a guy that was going on adventures. Of course, we don't really know what Snow was doing, but Doc is talking about all these adventures. You should have been there. You should have been part of this, whatever. And he's like, "Yeah, man, I was kind of busy," which is like the shit I say to people when they invite me out. I'm a homebody. I'm like, I was kind of busy. So,
We're living in a cave for 15
yeah.
years. It
So, oh man, I loved it. It was a cool issue.
and then we get to 6, right? And in 6 is crazy. I'm gonna read the synopsis for it, and you can just imagine how ridiculous it is. In the 1950s, a quartet of astronauts were launched into space on an experimental rocket mission to the moon. They didn't make it. Neither did the 4 cosmonauts launched on an identical flight plan. 2 different foursomes experienced something remarkable in their fantastic journey, and they're still alive today, doing something so mysterious that Planetary must somehow bring them down. So now we get the 2 alt histories of Fantastic Four. And I'm like, oh, I love stuff like this. Again, science meets crazy meets investigative journalist.
Well, and this one was almost confusing because it's like, wait, so there's like the Apollo missions, and then there's the secret thing, and then also the Russians are doing something. It very much is like you, and I love. I'm just on it right now. I love this panel of the guy shooting at Sputnik with like a revolver. To me,
Yes.
it's just
It's like,
so
what are you
funny.
gonna do? Yeah, what are you doing? I'm going to perfectly hit the rocket and the bolt that allow it to destroy it. It's like
I'm just gonna fire at it until it. Oh, it's so good.
and this is like, again, it goes, we keep doing all this crazy, crazy history stuff, right? And then it's like, how do you change it and make it tie to your story? And again, this is how I love spoofing stuff. You can pay respects to those things that happened before while giving it its own history of your for yourself. I love stuff like this. You make
Yeah,
it feel familiar without doing it, so.
exactly. And I've always loved the idea. I mean, let's see, I always forget his name, but I've always loved like an evil Reed Richards or just like these classic heroes that we see all the time in the opposite way. So in the Marvel comics, I can't remember if his name like the Controller or something, like the evil Reed
Oh, the
Richards,
maker.
the Maker. Yeah, so. I love that character and I loved him in the Ultimates. I thought that was some of the coolest shit. And to see, you know, of course, we're not seeing Mr. Fantastic here, even at the end, but to see like these bad actors that were, you know, modeled after these classic heroes is it's a lot of fun.
I love how you
But
call them bad actors. When people read it, they'll understand.
yeah. Well, yeah, man, it's pretty insane, but it's also cool to see, you know, as you approach the end of the issue, to see what they're up against. Because from now, Chiquita has seemed like she's no problems with anything. Like she can just do shit.
She's unbeatable at this point.
And she gets her shit rocked pretty quick, man.
Oh yeah. And it goes to show you, because Elijah Snow was able to go toe to toe with that guy. It just goes to show you how powerful he is. And it's like, Jaquita's very mad at that point too. She goes, "I'm gonna get you. I'm going to get you."
You know something I did not notice? This is going to be silly. I was reading this last night and I was getting kind of sleepy, but when he's looking at the file that has the four on it, there's obviously like eraser marks, what used to be a swastika. I was like, seeing that now, I'm like, oh shit, how did I miss that?
See, little details like that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, dude. It was a little harder, this issue with the back and forth and flashbacks and stuff, for me to follow things, but I still get the gist of what's happening.
Even after rereading it several times, it's meant to be confusing to keep you from guessing what's going to happen next. Like, I realize that, because then you read like 7 to 14, and then you read 21, well, is it 15 and like 21, and then 22 to 27. He breaks it up into these arcs to where you get revealed a certain set of information each time. And by the, and like I said, by the time you end it, you go, oh.
See, that's good to hear. I love the mystery, but I also am one that's like chomping at the bit, like, to explain something to me. But at least,
The next batch of stuff, you'll get it.
okay, great. And even this, I mean, even up to this point, you're like, okay, even though the first three issues are seemingly unconnected, I mean, yeah, I guess the first issues of this run are pretty unconnected, other than the little background shit. But this one, it really does, like you say, it feels like they were feeling out the issues to make sure that this was going to be something that they could continue. And now they're like, oh yeah, by the way, it's like coming up with the, let's say, like the Batman. That's a standalone, that could be a standalone movie. But then they're like, it was successful, we can make a series out of it, rather than starting the first movie with the idea that it's going to be a trilogy.
Exactly. And so by the time you get to 7, 8, 9, you're like, oh, they really mind fucked me. When stuff starts getting revealed, you're like, oh, this is why you waited.
Yeah. Well, it was, like you said, it was also really funny to see him just rack that dude right in the balls. Like, after, because he seemingly was going to be a big threat, and he was like, no, man, he's still a guy.
Every time. Everybody, I keep, it's so funny. Elijah Snow is one of those, he's like a simple granddad who you ask, like, he's like, don't ask me dumb questions. You're gonna get dumb answers. He's like, I'm tired of everybody's shit. Because he literally is an old man. He just doesn't look it.
He's been around forever.
Just an old cranky man.
So yeah, man, that's pretty much, that's it for this run. But man, I, like I said at the top, I'm really glad that you suggested this. I hadn't heard of it before. And if I had, it had been like one of those things in the background, that I was like, I don't know what that is. That's not Iron. I started reading Iron Man. That was like my big, the one comic that I collected more than any other. So I was like, that's not Iron Man. I don't know what that is. I'm too afraid. And then I get into some indie stories like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. So again, I'm glad I could go back to this and experience it. It's really great.
I'm glad. I was worried it'd be like too out of whack for you, but I'm like, stick through it. Trust me, stick through it.
Oh man, I love weird shit. Especially, like I said, alt history stuff. That's why I really dug Department of Truth for that reason. Like, I love the idea of, like, in that case, it's like tulpas and people like collective conscious creating things. In this case, it's, Illuminati stuff. So it's really great. So, Dee and I were talking about it at the beginning about rating. Normally we do like a toast rating, but if you have been listening to this, to us talking, you know how we feel about this. So we don't need to delve into the weeds there. So I'll just encourage everybody to start reading Planetary, man. It's been a great series so far. I've really enjoyed it, so I think it's great.
Yes, please continue and try to. When you read the next 7 issues, I need you to get back to me and let me know how you feel. And for those of you, when by the time those people listen to it, go read Planetary. If you don't, I'll dehydrate you.
Ha
I'll sit you under the sun and I'll dehydrate you till you agree to read it.
There you go. Well, D, thank you so much for being on the show. I know you're a busy man. You've got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff in the works. You're networking. Tell, if you don't mind, tell people where they can find a little bit about what you do.
If you want to see what I do especially, you can visit my website at d-amazing.net. You can go to my Instagram, which is D and then 2 underscores and the word amazing. You'll find pretty old me. If you want to go to my Twitter, it's damazingtoys. And all the other social links will be in there. I have that all my links thing. You might as well think I do a damn OnlyFans, but I don't. But it is convenient to have all my links. It definitely does put it all in one convenient place. But yes, thank you for having me. It's fun to talk comics with people about comics. And then it sounds crazy because a lot of times people will talk comics at you and not specifically talk with you. And,
yes.
And this has been quite refreshing. And I love it. Especially because we don't remember comics as TV shows. We remember comics as comics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember... You know, I try not to get wrapped up in it, like the differences anymore, because they're completely separate things. You know, comics are comics. And like you said, so I enjoy talking to anybody that has a deep love for it. You know, like I said, Lex is the brain. He knows all the comic stuff. You know, all the comic stuff, and you're teaching me, and I love it because I want to hear about it. So
I'm about to bother Lex when he comes back. He's going to be so upset with me. He's like, why are you bothering me? It's because you're Lex. I have to.
Yeah, man. Oh man, I love Lex. Like you said, be careful looking at D's YouTube because he'll make you buy shit, like a bunch of stuff.
I get that so often, and I'll tell you now, like I told everybody else, it's not true. I don't make you buy anything.
That's true.
What I do is I persuade your brain to tell you to buy things.
Yeah. Well, and just on a side note, that's one thing I've noticed about your photography and everything else is like your pure love of comic book comes out. Like, you know, people have trouble. Some people have trouble posing and things like that. And it's because they aren't looking at the comic panels like you do. And I feel like that's something that really shines through with your work. I observe
it into my brain.
Yeah, man. It's so quick too. Just watching you put it in. It's awesome. But yeah, D, thanks for being on the show. We're circling the drain, and so we're going to see you later, D.
I will round it out for you. Thanks for everybody that listened to us ramble on about things in life, things in toys, things in comics. I hope that you had a spectacular time. I hope that you are treating yourself well, and I hope you have a glass of water. But as always, please be good, do good, and drink your water, guys.